Truth takes time. This morning I was reading over my sermon at the breakfast table, and I realized that that is the central point I wanted to make in my sermon. And despite all of my preparation and writing last week, it had not dawned on me to include that phrase. Truth takes time. Just a moment ago, Paul led us in reading Psalm 119. We read 23 verses, the opening few and the closing few of Psalm 119. The entire psalm is 176 verses long. Psalm 119 alone is longer than 31 entire books in the Bible. It was written because of the psalmist's desire and devotion to sacred truth. The psalm writer takes 176 verses trying to figure out how to get to the truth. But if I asked us to read all 176 verses, you would all roll your eyes because it's so long and we don't have time to listen to someone else talk that long. In fact, several years ago at the church I served previously, I decided that we needed to read all of Psalm 119. So it was printed in the bulletin, and I watched people come in and get their bulletins and look at the length of the scripture. You would have thought I was asking them to stick forks in their eyes. Our attention spans are just too short. My average sermon is about 1,700 words. When Jonathan Edwards preached his classic sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, in 1741, it was 7,276 words long. We just wouldn't sit still for that. We wouldn't. If I preached a sermon that was an hour and a half long, you would all leave. During Lent, the sermons that I will be preaching are about vocations, about various jobs. My hope is to take lines from the Psalms over the next few weeks and explore those in the light of what we do or what people around us do during the week. You'll see the themes described in the order of service. Songs for nurses and doctors and CPAs and yard care workers and builders. Today, I want us to think about journalists and about journalism. Journalists and journalism, oddly, have been much in the news lately. The past couple of years, we've talked a lot about declining subscriptions of newspapers and magazines that are going out of business. The past several weeks, the concept of fake news has been in the news. The past few days, it's been the story of the White House kicking out certain news outlets from press briefings. Underlying all of that, underneath all of that about journalism that's in the news, I think is an idea about the changing ways in which we get our news. You know, most people these days only watch the shows they agree with, the news shows they agree with. If you're inclined to like the point of view on Fox, you watch only Fox. If you're inclined to like the point of view on MSNBC, you watch only MSNBC. And so many of us get our news online through these digital platforms that are designed to give us what we want. These algorithms are set up so that we see only the things that are like the things we want to see. One of the journalists in our congregation, he and I were emailing about this, and he said, it's the digital media behind the curtain, in a way, pulling the strings to show us only what we want to see. If I click on stories in the Washington Post on my phone or on my laptop, then the stories that will pop up in my newsfeed are going to be stories from the Washington Post. If you click on stories from Breitbart, then the things that show up in your newsfeed will be from Breitbart. What that does, I think, and there are those of you in our congregation who deal with these issues on a day-to-day basis, you may know this better than I, but I think what we are doing in this particular context is creating an echo chamber, where we only hear from and only talk to and only read sources that are like us or sources with which we agree. And an echo chamber is really an easy place to live because then we think that everybody is just like us and anyone who has another opinion just doesn't have the same access to the facts that we have. What that really means, I think, is that we have to work harder to find the truth. We have to work harder to find a variety of sources to inform our thinking. In preparation for this sermon, I asked a friend of mine who for many years was the religion writer at the Austin American Statesman what she would like a preacher to say to a congregation about journalism. And she said that she would like for a preacher to tell a congregation to find news sources, to find news outlets that challenge your political points of view, to read things with which you do not agree. That takes time. Because we have the things we like to read, we have the shows we like to watch, we also then have to find the sources that we disagree with and read and watch those as well. Also, another aspect of reading or watching something that challenges our political point of view is that we have to do that with an openness to the possibility of change. We have to do that with the openness that someone with another point of view may, in fact, have something that is worth us knowing. We have to do that with the willingness to change. Or we have to be honest about why we read the news. Do we read the news only to confirm our own opinions? Or do we read the news so that we can appear halfway smart at a cocktail party? Or do we read and watch the news to seek wisdom, to be challenged, to seek understanding, and to seek the truth? Another friend of mine who for many years wrote for the Arizona Republic said that the best compliment she could get after she wrote a news story was for someone to come up to her and say, "Your story caused me to change my mind about X or Y or Z." Truth takes time. I was talking with another friend of mine, another journalism professor, about the news this week, and he said that we live in this era that prizes velocity over veracity. That is, we want things quickly and immediately more than we want them to be correct. Good journalism takes time. We need to allow reporters the time to sift and to sort and to ask questions and to pursue sources from multiple points of view. We, most of us, as consumers of journalism, need to allow our news sources the time it takes to produce good journalism. And being a good consumer of journalism takes time as well. Even in this world of immediacy and urgency, we need to be not so quick to have an opinion about the news. An example. On Saturday, which was just yesterday, I guess, wasn't it? Time flies, by the way. Truth takes time. Yesterday morning, the president tweeted out that President Obama had tapped the phones at the Trump Tower. Within seconds, within minutes, within hours, 87,000 people had replied to his tweet. 47,000 people had retweeted it, and 137,000 people had liked the tweet. Even though it was a tweet with no factual basis behind it at that time. What if no one responded? And I'm not saying we never respond to that kind of thing, but what if we just took, 10 minutes to respond? Or 24 hours? Or what if we waited a full week before we expressed an opinion on the president's tweets. I actually think the tweeting would stop, by the way. Truth takes time. The rest of it is just noise. Lent, this season of Lent leading up to Easter, is a time traditionally known for prayer and fasting and repentance. Our children talked about giving up chocolate. Maybe some of you are giving up bad words or alcohol. But what if we took as a Lenten discipline seeking truth? What if we slowed down and spent time to center ourselves in the process of finding truth? I realized when I named this sermon, I named it A Song for Journalists. It's really not so much for journalists as it is for those of us who are consumers of journalism. But what if we slowed down and spent time centering ourselves to find the truth? I abhor falsehoods, the writer of Psalm 119 says. And in other places, the Psalms say, let us walk in the ways of truth. It seems to me that that is a Lenten task worthy of the Christian calling. This is no 7,000-word sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards. I really think only those three words are important, the three that I started with. Truth takes time. Let us devote ourselves to seeking the truth. May that be our Lenten task. And may God help us in that work. Amen.